So I hope everyone's doing well tonight. Tonight the shiur is on this coming week's Parsha, Parshas Yisro. And the shiur's title is, Where Was Hashem During Har Sinai? So the title sounds very kfira in nature, but it's not. I can tell you that. I can guarantee it. So let's look at the sources and try to understand this classic Rashi based on a Medrash, which seems very strange. So right after Har Sinai is over, we have a set of psukim in Parshas Yisro Parakhaf, that are pretty interesting. It's source number one. It's Parakhaf, Pasuk Yutes and Chaf. And it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kosomar el Bnei Yisrael, Atem Re'isem, Ki Min HaShemayim Dibarti Imachem. So Hashem says to Moshe to say to Bnei Yisrael that you have seen that I have spoken to you from the heavens. Sorry, Pasuk Chaf. And then the Torah reiterates what was in the Asaras HaDibros by saying that you should not make with me any gods that are made of silver or gold. You should not make them. So right after Har Sinai, we learn two things. There are two psukim. One is that Moshe should remind the Jewish people that Hashem spoke to them directly, and that's unique. And then we have another pasuk that seems to reiterate what we already know in the Aseres HaDibros, which is that you're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. And yes, so that's where the Torah leaves us after Har Sinai. So let's look at Rashi for some parish on this, what the necessity of the psukim are. And Rashi says on Pasuk Yates, Kosomar B'lashon Hazeh. So Hashem says to Moshe that you need to use this Lashon. Atem re'isem, you need to use this language, this type of verbiage. Atem re'isem, yesh hefresh bin masha adam roe, lamash acherim mesichinlo, shemash acherim mesichinlo, pa'amim shalibo chalak milahamin. So Rashi says that the purpose of Moshe reiterating to the Jewish people that they saw something directly is that it's unique, they weren't getting the information secondhand, and therefore they shouldn't have any doubts the same way they would have doubts if somebody were to tell them something secondhand. Okay, so that's really tied to the idea of Har Sinai and what makes Har Sinai unique. But look at the next one, the next Rashi, which is what we're going to focus on. Ki min HaShemayim Dibarti. So the Pasuk Yates, it says that Hashem spoke to the Jewish people from the heavens. So it says, V'chasav Echad Omer Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. But there's another Pasuk that says that Hashem descended onto Har Sinai. So it sounds like a contradiction. That's what Rashi's, based on the Medrash, points out. That on one hand, our Pasuk says that Hashem was speaking from the heavens, and in another Pasuk it says that Hashem descended onto Har Sinai. So what's the resolution? Baha Kasuv Ashlishi V'chriya Beinehem. So there's another Pasuk, a third Pasuk, that seems to resolve this problem, this contradiction. Min HaShemayim Mishmiach Es Kol Liyasraka V'Ala Aretz Heracha Es Yishua Gdolah. So the Pasuk says that the Jewish people heard Hashem's voice from the heavens to give them Musar, Val Aretz Herachas Yeshua Gedolah, and on the ground they saw a great fire, Kivodo Bashamayim V'Isho Ugvuraso Al Aretz. So his Kivodo, his splendor was in the heavens, but his Gvura, his might, was on the ground. So that's what the Pasuk is teaching us in Devarim, that it's not a contradiction, but both are true, that Hashem was speaking from the heavens, but also, there was this fire on the ground that was really an expression of God's might. So that's one way. But davar acher, hirchin shamayim ushmeya shamayim v'itzion al har. The other way to learn is that Hashem took the heavens and he bent them and placed them and rested them on Har Sinai. V'chenu omer v'yit shamayim v'yered. And it says in Tehillim that Hashem descended onto the mountain. Okay, so this is quite a strange Rashi and very difficult to understand, especially if you're learning this in a literal sense. But basically, just to summarize the Rashi and the Pshat, Rashi's saying that there seems to be contradictory ideas as to where Hashem was, and I use quotation marks, was, by Har Sinai. So one Pasuk says that Hashem was in the heavens, the other Pasuk says that Hashem descended upon Har Sinai, and the third Pasuk is saying either that it was a little bit of both, that his kvodo was in Shamayim and his gevura was on the Aretz. Or the other possibility is that somehow he bent the heavens and caused the heavens to descend onto the Har Sinai. So I don't think the questions that emerge are that deep. I mean, not that deep, but not so subtle. They're pretty obvious. And the questions are, I mean, A, what's the difference between the two? And what does it actually mean? Because Hashem isn't physical, of course. So what is this Medrash and this Rashi alluding to? How is it possible that Hashem could be in two places when obviously Hashem doesn't take up a place? How do we understand this in a non-literal sense? And what is the idea of each approach trying to express to us? So the Rashi is based on a Medrash. So it's important to look at the Medrash before we actually define this and we go on. So the Medrash says, Kimin Hashemayim Dibarti Machem, Uchsiv Vayerid Hashem Al Har Sinai. Same thing. Hakasav Hashlishi Machriya Ben Shnehem. So the third pasuk resolves the contradiction. Min Hashemayim Ishmiyacha Eskolli Asrecha V'Lar Terecha Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So the Medrash says that Rabbi Yishmael is the one, the first Shita in Rashi. Rabbi Kiva Omer Melamed Shehita Kadosh Baruch Hu Shmei Hashemayim Hal Yonim Al Rosh Ahar V'Diber Imam Min Hashemayim. So the other shita is Rabbi Akiva, and it's the same as Rashi. Rashi's quoting it, but he doesn't quote the two opinions, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. But it seems like there's kind of a machlokas here as to what exactly was being expressed at Har Sinai. So what is the nature of this machlokas? What are the two ways of learning as to how Hashem appeared or expressed himself at Har Sinai? And of course, we have to be very careful in trying to humanize Hashem, because he's not human at all, not physical. So what exactly can we learn from this Medrash? So there's an interesting Malbim. I didn't actually bring in the Malbim, but he quotes a Gemara in Sota that actually also takes into account one of the Shitas. And it gives us a little more insight as to what the Machlokas perhaps might be. And I think that would be a good springboard for us to use in order to give a Svara, to give a theory as to what the Gemara, what the Psukim are talking about, what the Rashi is talking about. So the Gemara is Sota, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is quoting a Pasuk from Yecheskel. And the Pasuk says that it's quoting the end of the Pasuk, or the middle of the Pasuk. It says, Ve'estaka Ushva Ruach, and the one who's contrite and who's lowly. So the question is, what is the Pasuk trying to teach us? That the Gemara is taking this up? What's it? Because that Gemara in Sota is referring to the whole benefit of being an anav, and how being a gasus ruach, being haughty, is something that's keneged Hashem. So this pasuk says, "Ve'estaka ushva ruach," the one who's contrite and lowly, Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. So they learn out a limud, the two of them, from this pasuk. Chad amar asi daka, the chad amar ani estaka. So one says that what it means is that Hashem raises up the one who is contrite and lowly, who's an anav. Look at Rashi, source number 5, Asidaka, Ani magbio al sheshochin, ad sheshochin etzli, v'haynu eshkon estaka. So I'm going to lift up the one who is humble and bring him to where he's sitting next to me. Okay, v'chad amar ani estaka. So what does that mean? Ani marchin shchinasi etzla. I'm going to bend my shchina, similar to the idea of bending the heavens, towards the one, the individual, who's an anav. So there's two approaches to this Gemara. One is that, how does Hashem respond to a person who's perfected in his midah of anivos? So what does he do? He either brings the person upwards so that he's next to him, next to the Shechina, or he goes down, he descends, like it's similar to the case of Sinai. And in fact, the Gemara actually quotes the idea of Sinai, because it says, Mistavra kamandamar ani estaka. It's more mistavar that Hashem is going down, and he's lowering himself to be with the one who's humble. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiniach kol harim megvos v'hishra shchinaso al har Sinai v'lo gava har Sinai l'mala. Because we see that by Har Sinai, Hashem didn't lift Har Sinai upwards towards the heavens, but rather he lowered his shchina. He bent the shchina, bent Shmei Shemayim, similar to what we were saying, onto Har Sinai. Okay, so we have this interesting machlokas, and the machlokas in the Gemara is whether or not Hashem lifts up the one who's humble to the level of Hashem, or Hashem himself goes downwards, he bends, and he descends to be with the one who's humble. So the question is, what exactly is the machlokas here? And perhaps we can try to reflect, based on this machlokas, as to what our machlokas in the Medrash is, and what Rashi is trying to say, because they seem very similar, the ideas. The Malbim, like I said, he quotes this Gemara, and he seems to think that this Machlokas is similar to the Machlokas in the Medrash, So what exactly is this machlokas? What is it even talking about that Hashem descends or brings up? You know, we know that, again, we know that Hashem doesn't actually physically lift them up to Shamayim. So what does it mean? What's it referring to? All right, so let me stop here and give those in the audience, anyone who's listening to the shir, anybody want to say any ideas, any thoughts on this? It's a very difficult Gemara to understand, but if anybody has any thoughts right now, please feel free to do so or just ask any questions.
Rabbi Ginsburg.
There we go. Yes.
So, what does it mean? What is your understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing up the humble to be next to him? What does that mean?
That's what I'm asking you. No, I have an idea. I was gonna share that. That was the part of the Svara, but. Yeah, that's the question. The question is, what does that mean? How is that? That's not how. What does either mean? What does it mean that Hashem bends himself? Yeah.
You ask us to take a look at the machlokas. You can't understand the machlokas unless you understand what each of them mean. Yes.
Yeah. The pshat is that. I mean, look at Rashi. Yeah. He says, "Asi daka nimag biyach eshochin etzli v'hainu eshkon es daka." So Rashi's saying it means that he's going to elevate the humble and contrite to be next to him. And the other side is saying, so what does that mean? I mean, that is kind of what I'm going to try to give a svara on, try to explain. Okay, so I want to give a possibility, an idea, to define the machlokas in this Gemara. And I think that it's very deep in nature. And I think it'll also give us some insight into what the machlokas is in Rashi, that Rashi's quoting based on the Medrash. So what does that mean? Rabbi Unger is correct. It's a great question. What does it mean that Hashem brings the person upwards towards him versus saying that he goes down towards the person? So I think the idea is that it's the concept of how Hashem chooses to express or to demonstrate his Shechina, which is the presence of God, the knowledge of God, to the one who's humble. So the Shechina, of course, the idea that God is Shochein, is a representation of God, not physically, but the idea that we can gain the knowledge of God. It's something that exists in this world. Like we say that when we look at the Shamayim, when we look at the stars, look at the moon, we say it's like Kiroa Pnei Ashchina. The idea is that when we look at these things, it's like it's a reflection of the Chachma of Hashem, and that Hashem exists and that He created the world. And that's really Shchina is really a euphemism for knowledge of God. And man's ability to grasp it and to access it. But there's two ways in which a person who has this midah of anivus, who's perfected, can gain access to knowledge. One way is that they can be given knowledge that's above them, that's abstract, and they can be given an opportunity to understand or perceive a knowledge that they wouldn't have had they been a gasas haruach. And that knowledge now is exposed to them. Now Hashem is giving them, through the Hashgacha, He's giving them opportunities to see a more abstract knowledge. And that's what it means that Hashem is bringing them up towards Him. It means that He's giving them an opportunity to see a knowledge, to at least grasp a knowledge that's above, that's a higher level, that's a greater level of knowledge. So that's one way in which Hashem and the Hashgacha can relate to a person who's an anav, who's not a gasas haruach, by giving him opportunities to understand higher level ideas more abstract about Hashem, ideas that are less physical and more closely related to at least the idea of metaphysics, for example, an idea like that, an idea that's above most people. But that's one way in which the anav is rewarded. But the other possibility is that it's not that the type of knowledge that they're given is a higher level, more abstract, it's that they're given more opportunities to access the knowledge. So, for example, like when you're walking around in the world and you see the trees and you see the snow, for example, like we've all experienced, there's different ways we can look at that. But some of us can look at that as natural, but others can look at it as an expression of Shechina, as a clear expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu developed the world and created the world with unique laws of nature. And the idea of Hashem lowering himself is the concept that the anav is able to access more representations of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom in this world. And that's one of the hashgachas, not just naturally, but also a hashgacha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the anav is able or is exposed to knowledge in this world that is more reflective of the wisdom of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a machlokas. The machlokas is what type of knowledge is the humble individual exposed to? Through hashgacha, are they exposed to an idea that's abstract, an idea that they wouldn't necessarily have access to if not for the fact that they're humble and the Shechina is, or at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashgacha are allowing them or giving them the opportunity, much like Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a good example. When Moshe is the perfect example of the idea of an Anav gaining knowledge, abstract knowledge, because Moshe was given the greatest knowledge, the most knowledge about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's like the idea that he was, that the idea of the max amount of knowledge that Moshe gained because he was an Anav. So it's an idea in the abstractness of the knowledge, or is it an idea in the exposure of the knowledge to the person in this world? So that's what it means that Hashem lowers himself to this world. It means that he's giving, or it's like he's uncovering your eyes. He's showing you different ways and different opportunities that you can grasp Chachmas Hashem that you might not have seen beforehand. But it's not talking about the quality of the knowledge, the abstractness of the knowledge. It's talking about the quantity, the amount of knowledge, the amount of representativeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world that you're exposed to. So that's the machlokas. The machlokas is, I don't know if it's you're wrong and you're right type machlokas. It could be that both ideas are true, but they're expressing different concepts about how the hashgacha relates to an individual who's deserving of shechina. Is it that they gain access to higher level knowledge, more abstract knowledge, or is it that Hashem shows them or gives them more opportunities to see His wisdom in this world? So those are probably both true when it comes to the Anav, but it seems like that's the difference between the two opinions. So perhaps we can take this idea and move it back to the question of Har Sinai and what was going on with Har Sinai. So it's the same type of question. So the side that seems to say that Hashem descended upon Har Sinai, that he lowered the heavens to Har Sinai, is saying that the Jewish people at Har Sinai was given that the type of knowledge that the Anav is given, because of his anivus when Hashem lowers himself, meaning that they were given more exposure. It's almost like their eyes were uncovered to see the Chachmas Hashem in this world, and that occurred at Har Sinai. That when Har Sinai occurred, it's like they looked around in the natural world and they could see the Chachmas Hashem to a greater degree, to a higher level. Or the other possibility is the first way, similar to Esi Daka. Not that he lifted up the mountain, but that him being in the Shamayim and the idea of the Esh being on Sinai is the concept that the Jewish people were given opportunities to at least see more abstract knowledge of God. And there were different levels, and there was the level of the Esh, and then there was a higher level, the level of God speaking from Shamayim. So the Machlokes, or the two Shitas about Har Sinai, are really analogous to the Shitas in this Gemara. The question is, by Har Sinai, what type of revelation was it? Was it a revelation within nature where people now, it's almost like the things that they saw before that they didn't necessarily see the representative of Hashem, the Shechina, in? Now at Har Sinai, it was the maximum of that type of level of knowledge? Or was it, no, that they were given opportunities to go beyond their level, to reach a higher level, more abstract knowledge? And that seems to be the machlokas, at least that's the way I'm learning it, in the Gemara and also the machlokas in the Medrash. Okay, so let's just stop there. Is there any questions? Does that make sense to everybody? And if not, I'll go over it again.
You saying that there's a view that maintains that Har Sinai was within the realm of nature?
No, I'm saying what type of realization did the Jewish people have at Har Sinai that they didn't have before Har Sinai? So there's two possibilities. Either the realization, and I think we'll see this in the Ibn Ezra. I think he's a better expression of this. But is it the realization that everything in the world is an expression of the representative of the representativeness of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that reality, that truth, became apparent to them at Sinai, because the revelation made all that information apparent, that these are all expressions of Hashem's Chachma, that you know everything in nature is a representative of Hashem's Chachma. Or was the revelation at Har Sinai an opportunity for the Jewish people to achieve or to gain knowledge in the abstract, more abstract knowledge? So is it that they weren't given a higher level knowledge? It's just that what happened at Har Sinai was that all of a sudden, with the revelation, there was an idea, a concept, that the whole world and everything in nature is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and His Chachma and His wisdom, and that was apparent to them through Har Sinai? Or were they given opportunities in Har Sinai to gain a higher level knowledge, a higher level of information, a more abstract knowledge. So it's not that it was natural, but the idea, the concept, because it wasn't natural, because before Har Sinai, it's like us walking around. You know, we don't walk around where we see everything. You know, we may know that idea, but it's very difficult to see how every single thing in the world is an expression of Chachmas Hashem. But we walk around, you know, we see it snows. We don't really reflect on that idea very often, or most, some of us, not all of us. And it's very difficult to do that on a constant basis. But the idea is that at Har Sinai, the knowledge that everything in nature is from God was apparent to the Jewish people. And that's what, that was the effect of whatever occurred at Har Sinai, that was the effect. As the other side is saying, no, that the effect of Har Sinai was that the Jews were given opportunities to gain a higher level knowledge, a more abstract knowledge. Let's do the Ibn Ezra and you'll see what I mean. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
If it's more than that.
I mean, I don't know. I think the abstract knowledge is similar to like to the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, the highest level knowledge, I guess the most amount of negative knowledge. And Moshe, like whatever Moshe Rabbeinu had, it's very difficult for me to say what it is, but it's basically an idea that you wouldn't be necessarily gain naturally through nature. You wouldn't necessarily see it. It has to be through some type of Ashgacha, some type of Nevuah. Or was it either? So I'm saying both ideas were a byproduct of the revelation. The question is, what exactly, what idea was being expressed? Is the idea of the world being an expression of Chachmas Hashem and that reality, was that just apparent? And that's what the revelation was all about at Sinai? That making the fact that the natural world is an expression of the Shekhinah a reality to the people, that was what it was? That was the nature of this revelation? Or the revelation was such that it gave them an opportunity to gain higher degree of knowledge, so higher level of knowledge. Let's just look at the Ibn Ezra, and maybe it'll become clearer, hopefully. So look at the Ramban, and the Ramban kind of rips into Rashi a little bit, which is fine. He says, V'chasav Rashi, kimin ha-shamayim dibarti machem, v'chasav acher omer v'yerda shem har Sinai, so he quotes Rashi, v'ha shlishi lachriya b'neim, min ha-shamayim ishmiachas kolo liyasreka, v'alaretz harachas yishua gedola. So same, he quotes the Rashi, Kavodo b'shamayim b'isho gvuraso b'aretz. So his kavod was in the heavens, but his fire and his might were on the ground. Zehu lashon arav. So this is Rashi. Ve'inenu mechuvon. So he doesn't like it. Aval chrei apsukim medrash chachamim hu. So, but he says that really this is a medrash. Be'emesu ki Hashem b'shamayim u'chvodo b'har Sinai ki be'ish Hashem. So it's true that Hashem was in the shamayim, and his kvodo was expressed in Har Sinai through the Eish Hashem. The chasav al Har Sinai yirata v'dibarti imahem yishamayim. And it says that Hashem descended and he spoke to them from the heavens. V'hamikroz kulan mevu'aros b'lashon l'chol yodea. So he says that everyone knows what these psukim mean. V'chvar b'yarti ha'kol l'mala. I already explained this. Rabbi Avram Amar, ki mi sheyesh lo lev yaven atam b'parshas kisisa v'divrei pi chacham chen. So he says that anyone who has any understanding will understand the reasoning in Parshas Kisisa. And he says, he quotes Koheles about complimenting the Ibn Ezra. But what does the Ibn Ezra say? What's he referring to? So I think he's referring to this Ibn Ezra over here in source number 7. And he's going on Rashi also. So he says, Vayomer Hashem, Rabim Hishtabshu. Many people are confused. Ba'avur Shematsu Udvarv Shemata Mitocha Eish. Because in other places it says that Hashem's voice was heard from the fire. Shahaya b'har Sinai, at Har Sinai. He kasu v'yir Hashem al Har Sinai al Rosh Ahar. Says that Hashem descended to Sinai on the top of the mountain. V'ata amar min Hashemayim dibarti imachem. But now it says in our pasuk, in Yisro, that Hashem spoke from Shemayim. U'mi sheyesh lo lev yavin atam et parshas kisisa. So anybody who has an understanding will know the reasoning in Parshas Kisisa. He says, Rak ata eten lecha mashal, but I'll give you a mashal as to what this means. Ulai yavin misha ein lo lev. So maybe somebody who doesn't have an understanding will understand this. Chashev, So it's similar to, or it's chashav, it seems like, Shehiya Kidmus Adam Rosha Bashamayim. He says it's like a person whose head is in the clouds, Viraglov al Har Sinai, and their legs are on Har Sinai. So he's creating an analogy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like to a human analogy. It would be as if a human being had their head in the sky and their feet on the ground of Har Sinai. So too, that's the analogy to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at Har Sinai and what they saw. Because both are true. Hashem was standing on this on Har Sinai with his feet, and he was also speaking from Shemayim. So like this pasuk, that his feet stood on that day on Har Zesim. Because we know that the heavens and the earth are full of his kvodo, full of his splendor. That heavens and earth are full of his splendor. So what is the Ibn Ezra saying? What's he saying? It's and how is he expressing what's going on here at Har Sinai? So it sounds like he's saying that the idea of Har Sinai was that the Jewish people were recognized or saw this reality that Hashem is Malei Chol Haaretz Kevodo. That the concept that Hashem, it's a concept that we can envision, that we can think about, but it's very difficult to grasp. And it's very difficult to really understand, to really perceive. But the idea that Ibn Ezra is saying is that the way that Hashem revealed himself at Har Sinai was such that the Jewish people were able to fully comprehend to the highest level of man the idea of Hashem, Shamayim v'aretz malei chvodo, that the Shamayim and the Aretz are malei chvodo. And that's what it means that Hashem spoke to them from both the heavens and the ground. It means that the Jewish people, through this revelation, understood the concept of Hashem being Hashemayim v'aretz malei chvodo. So I think that's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. The Ibn Ezra is saying that was the expression, or that was what God was expressing to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. So the Ibn Ezra is kind of saying, it could be that the Ibn Ezra is explaining the first Shita in Rashi. It's possible, it's not clear, but it could be he's saying that's what it means, Kvodo Bashamayim Be'isho, Be'isho. So go back to Rashi. So go back to Rashi in source number two. So he quotes both shitas. In the first one, it says, V'chasav echad omer v'yir Hashem al har Sinai, ba'al chasav al shlishi v'yichriya b'inem, minash shamayim ishmiachah es kolol li'asreka, v'al aretz harachot es yisho agdala, kvoda b'ashamayim b'isho gvuras al aretz. So the first shita holds that Hashem's kavod was in the shamayim, and his ish and his might were on the ground. So perhaps the Ibn Ezra would explain that opinion, that shita, and he's saying that really the concept that Hashem was expressing at Har Sinai, and this is what the revelation, how it affected the Jewish people, was that they fully grasped the concept of Malei Chol Haaretz Kevodo, that Hashem is really his kavod, his splendor exists in the whole universe and everything that we could perceive. So it's kind of similar to what I was saying before as to the difference between the two sides, although I'm learning it the other way in Rashi. But I was saying the question is, do you say that at Har Sinai, the main revelation to them and the main effect of the revelation was that they recognized through it that everything in the world is an expression of Hashem's Chachma, and that Hashem is the creator of the universe. And that was just became completely apparent to them at Har Sinai. It's not something that is apparent to us. It wasn't apparent to the Jewish people before Sinai, but it became apparent. Or do you say that really what Har Sinai was all about was giving the Jewish people an opportunity to gain a more abstract knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was what occurred at Har Sinai? So it's similar. I still think it's similar to Rashi on the Gemara and the Machlokas as to how it works by an Anav. Is it that Hashem gives them opportunities to see more abstract knowledge, or is it that he exposes them to more opportunities in this world to see the representativeness of Hashem and the Shechina in this world as an expression of Chachmas Hashem? But I think that's similar to the Machlokas. I still retain that that's the Machlokas in Rashi, and the Ibn Ezra is saying a little bit different. He's saying it's really the concept of Malei Chol Haaretz Kevodo, that the Jewish people became apparent to them, that Kvod Shamayim and Kvodo Al Haaretz, that idea became apparent to them, became real to them. So perhaps that's the idea, the concept of Hashem and how what ideas were being expressed at Har Sinai. So it's hard for me to go further. Yes, Rabbi Unger, you have a question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rabbi Ginsburg, you're saying that the Am Yisrael gained more abstract knowledge from the description of Harsinai with the lightning and the thunder and the smoke and the ash, the whole mountain was smoking and on fire and lightning and thundering, and Kol Shofar, they gained more abstract ideas from those physical entities, not the Kol, not Hashem speaking, not the two commandments that they heard, not that, but they gained more abstract knowledge from that physical phenomena than like they would have from the Ten Makos in Mitzrayim. That sounds strange.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not just that. I'm saying the idea of Hashem in the Shemayim and it, like the first Shita in Rashi, the idea of Hashem in Shemayim and Esho is on Sinai. It's the concept that through the ideas of Esh, it's almost like, I'll give you the mashal of the Ibn Ezra. The mashal of the Ibn Ezra is that God's feet are on the ground and his head is in the sky. So if you just follow the path upwards, if you look at a person and you look down at their feet and you look up, you start seeing their face and you start seeing more of them. So the idea is that the Jewish people were offered an opportunity to see this knowledge and given an opportunity to, so to speak, look up, to start seeing more and more abstract knowledge. It's the analogy I think that the Ibn Ezra is alluding to, which is that when you have the feet on the ground but the head in the sky, it's like the head of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the most abstract. The most abstract is to see a person's face. In fact, that is the analogy of Panim El Panim, and that's the idea of Pnei Hashem. So the idea that Hashem's face, so to speak, was in Shemayim is the concept, the most abstract knowledge. It's the idea of Pnei Hashem, like Moshe saw, or Moshe was requesting, Panim El Panim. So the concept is that the Jewish people were given almost like a ladder. They were given an opportunity to take that, miracles and whatever they saw, whatever was occurring, they were given an opportunity to gain more and more and more and go up the ladder, go up like you would go up towards a person's face. If you started from their feet and you went upwards, so too the Jewish people were given the same opportunity. That's one way of learning. Or the other way of learning is that, no, that really there wasn't that ladder here of going upwards, starting from the bottom, going upwards, but rather it was that Hashem lowered himself. And what does that mean, he lowered himself? It means that the idea of Hashem were palatable to man. It's like the ideas were just HaKadosh, that the people could see it more. They were more exposed to it. But it's not that they could gain or see Pnei Hashem. So that's what I would say the difference is. If you say the Pnei Hashem is in Shemayim and the feet are on the ground, like the analogy of the Ibn Ezra, of course it's not literal. It's saying that the Jewish people, the analogy that he's making is that the Jewish people were given an opportunity to move upwards, to see, to start at the bottom, and really that should lead up to a more abstract concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the Pnei Hashem, that's the highest level. That's what the Ibn Ezra is alluding to. The other side saying that Hashem lowered himself, that it's not that the Jewish people had an opportunity to see his face, that never happened. It's that he made the Shekhinah more recognizable in this world. He made the Shekhinah more recognizable, they were more exposed to it. It's like they saw the world with a different lens, and Har Sinai caused that. Har Sinai created that, the revelation. So what exactly was occurring at Sinai? So that's, I don't know if that makes it clearer. Yeah.
Well, the second sheet is clear because you have a proof for that. Because Bnei Yisrael only could listen to the first two commandments. And then they ran back to Moshe and said, we can't take it anymore, right?
Yeah.
And later on, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, gives Bnei Yisrael Yashikayach.
Right.
They could only hear two, and then they ran away.
So that's so, yeah. Go ahead.
That seems to fall in line with the second shita, not the first shita, because the first shita would say that you make a mistake doing that.
Why? It could be that they recognized that they were incapable of seeing that knowledge or gaining that knowledge. Meaning, the opportunity, in fact, it works out better that way. The opportunity, the first way is saying that the opportunity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see the face of Hashem, and I'm using all of this kviyachol, was too grand for them. They knew that they weren't on the level, and when they heard the voice of Hashem, that was the concept, that they were given an opportunity to see, to move up the ladder, so to speak, to see Pnei Hashem, to at least have greater aspects or greater insight into that concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they realized that they couldn't handle it. They weren't on the level, they could not handle it, and that was the Yashikoach, that they realized that they weren't on the level and it would really be harmful for them. The other possibility is the idea that the reality of the world being an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, and that being as apparent as possible to them. It's almost like you look at the world differently, you perceive the world differently, and that's what Har Sinai did. So that also, you can say that, why did they go back? I mean, it could be that that was too difficult for them, because the average mind and the average psyche can't walk around all the time and think that's the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, it's just not part of the nature of man, or at least the normal person, to do that. So perhaps that idea was just too powerful for them. They couldn't tolerate it. They needed to step back a little bit. So either way you go, you can explain why or what happened and why they had to move backwards and why they couldn't tolerate it. Either they recognized that the possibility of gaining insight, which is the idea of the Pnei Hashem and the Shemayim, and it coming from the Shemayim, that was too grand for them. They realized that they weren't on the level, and any knowledge in that realm would be too harmful for them. Or that the concept that Hashem's representativeness is so apparent in the world, that idea and grasping that in the moment of Har Sinai was too great for them. It was too hard for their psyches to handle, because the average person, like I said, the average person walking around, you know, we know in the backs of our minds that Hashem is present and that everything's representative, but we're not always constantly aware of that fact, that reality, and it's very difficult for a person to live on that level, to have that knowledge, and just, it's just powerful, very powerful. But I think it's tied back again to that Gemara of Asi Daka, Ani Es Daka. Like, what's going on with the humble person, the Anav? Are they given opportunities to gain more abstract knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or does God lower himself? Does God make the representativeness of himself more apparent in this world to that person? So which one occurs? It's probably both, but perhaps that's the Machlokas by Sinai. All right. Let's just do one more idea. any more questions? I just don't want to cut anybody off. So any more questions? Or does it make sense at this point? Is it clear? If not, it's fine.
That's yeah. A nice explanation.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Okay, great.
That Rashi fits in.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it does. Okay, so let's just go on. One more point. Yeah.
I'll only give you a nagging question.
Yeah.
So why would a Kaddish Baruch Hu initiate a plan that couldn't possibly be fulfilled? In other words, give them an opportunity to gain the greatest knowledge, but he knew beforehand that they couldn't do it.
Right. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it could be that.
How is that an opportunity? Sorry, just to add to that question, especially with respect to God, how is that even called an opportunity?
You mean God knew that the Jewish people wouldn't be able to at least gain that knowledge, and in fact, you're saying they were even congratulated, or they were rewarded for recognizing that. So, but why put them in that situation in the first place? Maybe it's an idea of Misora. Maybe the concept is that the Misora had to start with that type of revelation, the revelation of God in the most abstract sense. Maybe that's the idea. I'm not sure.
That in itself is a nevus.
right. Yeah.
Totally opposite. That in itself, recognizing that they couldn't listen to the absolute reality of a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaking, that's a nevus.
It was a nevus. But still, even with that, first of all, they didn't come in on that level. It's not like Klal Yisrael wasn't on the level where they were all like Moshe Rabbeinu when they came to Har Sinai. But yes, it was a reflection of their anivas in recognizing that they couldn't either tolerate the level of knowledge, the abstractness of the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they knew that they weren't ready for it, or they weren't capable of it. Or the other way of learning, like the concept, which to me would blow my mind away if I constantly perceived everything and it just became apparent that every single thing that I was looking at and everything that I thought about was really representative of God. Although that, of course, I know that's true, but I'm saying on a practical level and a psychological level, it's very difficult to live your life where you're walking around like that and you're thinking about everything in that framework. So both those ideas, it's on you to recognize that that's harmful for some people, and it's actually not beneficial to constantly have that level of awareness. So yeah, it was both an expression of Anivas, but it's a great question as to why Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up that way, knowing that this would be the reaction of the Jewish people. I mean, you have to say they had Bechira, of course. I mean, they could have chosen to stay and listen, but it would have been harmful for them. So it's a great question. I don't know. Do you guys have any ideas, any possibilities? Donnie?
I mean, look, Moshe Rabbeinu was, Moshe Rabbeinu looked away from...
Yeah, I mean, the idea was, well, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that... Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. So Hashem said to Moshe, no man can see me and live. So he was only given, he was given the maximum possible knowledge that he was on the level to receive and to understand and perceive. But the Jewish people were certainly not on that level. Yeah.
Wasn't the where Moshe Rabbeinu looked away and he prayed for looking away because he wasn't ready for the knowledge?
Which by the SNA, maybe? By the SNA?
I'm forgetting.
Yeah, that's by the SNA.
Yeah, perhaps by the SNA, yeah. I mean it's definitely anivus on the part of a person to recognize that they're not on the level, and I think that's what Klal Yisrael were saying. I agree with you. I think everyone maintains that in this year, that the Klal Yisrael were expressing their anivus. Either way you learn Rashi, they're saying we can't tolerate, it's too much for us. But the question is, why would it be set up this way in the first place?
So Ginsburg, actually, it actually harkens back a little bit to the Eitz Hadas and the notion of basically forbidden knowledge, and even Avodah Zarah as well, is that certain knowledge that man tries to obtain, if he does it prematurely, if he does it before he's perfected, before he's on the level, it's very, very destructive, and it'll undermine the principles of knowledge that we have.
No, I agree.
And that is an axiom in Torah, is that derech haTorah is to perfect man through a whole process that eventually he can come to see certain ideas. So the fact that they're available to man is proper. The fact that Har Sinai is showing, you know, here's the derech and here's the Torah that will lead you there, and the proper way, the proper nihug, at least in terms of one who endeavors down that path, is to recognize their own limits and to recognize that they have this whole life.
Right, so you're saying the foundation of Torah is this concept, that the abstract knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is accessible, but only to one who's aware of his own limitations. I think that's what you're saying, right? And that's what...
In a sense.
That's why it was set up this way, to show for all generations, for humanity, that this type of knowledge is accessible. And that's why he had to reveal himself in this way. But on the other hand, Klal Yisrael were showing this other idea, this other concept that, you know, so I think that's what you're saying, Donnie. I agree. You're saying that, and I think this answers both of your questions, which is, why did he set it up this way? Because it had to be, the idea of Sinai had to express the fact that this knowledge is accessible to man. And that's what it had to do. And even though some people can't benefit from it because they're not on the level, but the reality that this knowledge is accessible had to be expressed. And that's what Sinai and the concept of Sinai is really founded on, that man can gain a certain type of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it be in abstractness or whether it be, I would say, more on a psychological level, an awareness of his chachma in the universe. But either way, both types of knowledge are accessible to man, and that was necessary to be expressed at Har Sinai, the foundation of Torah. So, yeah.
To buttress this point, if I may.
Yeah.
I think in the second source in Rashi, I think if you go up, where he says that Atem Reisim, that you, this knowledge is something that we, not just accessible, but we know is true, whereas knowledge we get from other people, from talking, is sometimes it's like we're not really sure if it's true.
Right. Right. So you're saying that this is a different type of knowledge, you're saying, but it's a knowledge that had to be expressed at Har Sinai to show that primary knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, either way you learn Rashi or either way you learn the Gemara, is really accessible. So yeah, no, excellent.
Yeah, but accessible, but also like indubitable.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Excellent.
You
yeah.
I noticed that the accessible knowledge, that's a nice idea. Accessible knowledge was on every level. In other words, for the person who's not a chacham, because all of Klal Yisrael is there.
Yeah, exactly.
All of the all of the senses were engaged.
Right.
You could see it, you could hear it, you could smell the burning fire, the mountain was quaking, right?
Yeah.
Every single physical sense was engaged in understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is in control of all of these forces in the universe.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The person that doesn't have the mental capacity,
right,
had the ability to experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei HaMelechim.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That, I mean, I'm trying to say that there's two ideas of Melech Malchei HaMelechim. One is the more abstract concept of like Moshe was seeking out the highest level knowledge, or there's an idea of the fact that everything in this world, everything in the universe that you see, is reflective of God as Creator. So those ideas are both powerful ideas that I think is the question that's going on in Rashi.
It sounds like the Rav Soloveitchik, right? Transcendent and immanent at the same time.
Yes. Both ideas are true. Yeah, definitely. All right, I think we'll stop here. This is great. I really appreciate it, everyone, for participating.